We accumulate an awful lot of stuff, don't we? That book we got for Christmas, the year we were interested in gardening, the clothes that were such a bargain, and the National Geographics we just can't throw away. Our lives sometimes feel full of baggage. Things we never intended to keep, stuff we don't want anymore, but can't quite bring ourselves to get rid of. And we carry this stuff around with us, sometimes for a lifetime. We try to live productive and happy lives, and most of the time we are happy. And yet all of us, no matter who we are, drag some secret regret or guilt around that we just don't seem to be able to get rid of. Of course, we don't all think we're guilty. Right now you might be thinking, well, I've never killed anyone. I've never stolen anything. I'm not really a bad person, actually. And yet somewhere deep down, there's something that makes you feel guilty.
I'm born in a place called Ton, in Sudan, in Barakazal State. And I was born in the time when the war was happening. SPLA was formed, and when it was formed, it brought a lot of tension. The Arabs came and captured my town, and people were killed seriously. The houses were burned, the cattle were killed, then some families raped. One day we were asked how many kids are willing to be trained, like to be soldiers. Everyone was interested. No one was forced. For me, my desire was to revenge what happened in my village, and I said, okay, I'm gonna learn how to fire a gun. We were all happy. We couldn't sleep that night because we know tomorrow we're gonna be trained.
I believe I've survived for a reason to tell my story, to touch lives.
Hey, can you get back?
Oh,
Let's listen to that again.
I believe I've survived for a reason to tell my story, to touch lives.
A successful music career is a long way from the village in southern Sudan where Emmanuel Jarl was born. Emmanuel's a rap artist with the number one record under his belt. He's performed in Live 8 in Cornwall and supported massive UK groups like Faithless and Razorlight. And his song, Bye, featured on the soundtrack for the hit film Blood Diamond. He's written an autobiography and even performed for the 90th birthday concert for Nelson Mandela. It's been a long journey from the war zones of Sudan. He's a man with a new life. It all seems like it's a bit of a fairy tale. Well, it wasn't.
This rap I'm doing, it's a personal thing. It's about me, about my country, and what I face. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. My dreams are like torment. My every moment, voices on my brain of friends that were slain. Friends like Lual who died by my side of starvation. We used to raid villages, stealing chickens, goats and sheep, anything we could eat. I knew it was rude, but we needed food. And therefore I was forced to sin to make a living. Sometimes you gotta lose to win. Never give up, never give in. Left home at the age of 7. 1 year later, I leave with an AK-47. By my side, slept with one eye open wide. Run duck, play dead and hide. I've seen my people die like flies. Yigish, yigish, I'm on a fight. Day and night, sometime I'm doing wrong in order to make things right. It's like I'm living a dream first time. I'm feeling like a human being, The children of Darfur, your empty bellies on the telly, now it's you that I'm fighting for. Ask God questions, what am I here for? Why am I people poor? Innocent people die every day. And I ask God why and why. When the rest of the children were learning how to read and write, I was learning how to fight. That's my story.
When a child is born, the child is free, you see. They don't know who can be their enemy. I've lost my childhood, but at the moment I'm moving with what I have and with what I can achieve.
Forced to sin to make a living. Forced to sin to make a living. Sometimes you gotta lose to win.
Guilt can be a powerful force in our lives. In America a few years ago, a young woman's murder investigation had stalled. The police recruited a psychologist who suggested hiding a microphone at the victim's gravesite, you know, to see who might come by and confess their sins. Months later, a man turned up, riddled with guilt, and poured out his heart, begging the dead girl for forgiveness. And the police got their man.
Dr. Hart's ready for you.
Thank you.
Oh, come on
Dr.
in.
Hart.
Hi, Danielle.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. You found your way, you're all right?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Uneventful, which was
all right.
So why do people feel guilt?
People feel guilt because they are designed to feel guilt. It's all part of the brain structure. Unlike any other form of life, humans have a unique system that is... A warning system is really what it is. It's also a system that keeps you honest and makes you a good person. Now, it's surprising, isn't it, that while we were born in sin, God gave us the capacity to be good. And to be good, we really need the guilt system.
Okay, so how does it do that? How does it correct us?
It corrects us because it's a warning system. In the brain, there are really two components that operate for guilt. Guilt is a feeling, but it is a feeling that comes from the brain having a system called mirror neurons. These are neurons in the brain that mirror something that is going on outside. So if there is something painful being done to someone and I'm standing there, my brain is mirroring that as if it is in me. We call it the empathy system, and that is the basis for guilt and how it operates in our brains. If they don't have that guilt, then it can be a serious consequence. There are a group of people who have no guilt whatsoever. We call them sociopaths, psychopaths. They are in our prisons. They rob you. They steal from you. They feel no guilt at all. The consequence is a very serious one. But perhaps the most important consequence, if you don't experience guilt, you really can't make a connection with others. Relationships are destroyed. Whole families can be destroyed when there's someone in the family who feels no guilt. So guilt is... It's almost as if God has designed us around this guilt system because it plays a major role in our relationship with God as well.
You don't have to be a child soldier to find yourself trapped by guilt. I mean, who hasn't struggled with a guilty conscience? That sense that you've done something wrong, or that you've neglected to do what you knew was right. You attempt to rationalize it, but deep down, guilt is a silent voice that just won't shut up.
When we feel guilty about something, either we've done something bad, or we haven't done something good, or we haven't helped anyone, a feeling of anxiety increases. So it really falls into the domain of the anxieties and makes us feel uncomfortable. But its purpose, you see, is to motivate us to either make amends or to do something to help. So it turns us into better people.
Okay, so guilt can be good or bad?
Guilt can be good or bad, and it's very, very important that we understand the distinction. In psychological terms, we think of the bad form of guilt as neurotic guilt, good form of guilt is the true guilt. So you can feel guilty about something you haven't done, because you've been programmed to feel guilty. Or you can feel guilty about little petty things, like my mother, whenever we finished a meal, my knife and fork had to be at 45 degrees on the plate before she would take the plate away. So here I am at my stage in life, and when I'm in a restaurant, when I'm finished eating, the knife and fork has to be at 45 degrees, because if the waitress takes it away, I feel guilty. So we can feel guilty about petty things. See, the difference between the false guilt, the neurotic guilt, and the true guilt is the false guilt is often usually nothing that you have done. You're guilty about something you really haven't done. And whereas opposed to true guilt, you understand, I have done something terrible. I humiliated you. I criticized you behind your back. And there are actions you can take when it's true guilt that makes you a better person, whereas the negative neurotic guilt prevents you from being anything more than a self-punishing, self-rejecting, self-hating sort of person.
Is there any more questions?
No.
That's a heavy question. You know, when you go to war and you're young, sometimes you don't even know where you're shooting at. You just fire in the bush and assume you've killed someone.
It's just like when you see the bushes running, and then you dive, and then... We had so much hatred. There's one of this guy, he has no gun, he has no anything. We want to beat him with our hands and cut him with machetes and finish him to death. And seeing him is like you're screaming, you're hitting him on his head. I remember kicking the guy on his back here. There's a certain joy of feeling like you're a man and you've achieved something. We cut him into pieces, basically, and beating him to death.
Many adult soldiers suffer from what they call post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's not just the fear for their own safety or seeing their comrades killed. Many struggle with what they've done in battle themselves. We're not talking about war criminals here, just men and women doing what's done in war. And often, however justified, the guilt makes it hard for them to hold their lives together.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, we now know, has some implications for guilt. For example, with wars that are going on, we get something called survivor guilt, where, you know, everyone else in your platoon died and you're the only one who survived. And now you begin to feel guilty because you are the only one that has survived. Guilt can come from some of the actions that must be performed when you're a soldier. Now, you know, if you're fighting a legitimate war, or whether it's an illegitimate war, you know, just a terrorist activity, there's the guilt feeling. You're left bearing the brunt of responsibility, and that can be very, very disconcerting. It can cause it can ruin the rest of your life if you don't deal with it. So, post-traumatic stress disorder has several consequences, but one of them is the effect it has on your guilt. And this is why a culture of forgiveness needs to be created. I was in New York with the September 11 event. A week after that, I was in the hole, help to train relief workers and deal with the firemen and the policemen who had to go and find these body parts and so on. And they were feeling traumatized by that, and in a sense guilt, a survivor guilt phenomenon. And so creating a culture of forgiveness is something that we need to pay attention to in our Christian world. People need to learn how to receive forgiveness. Because even though you may not have done anything yourself, but you're feeling guilty, there's a sense in which forgiveness is still the healing force in that. If God's solution is forgiveness, trust me, our solution is forgiveness as well.
Sometimes when I survive in a place, I say, why did I survive? Sometimes just to wish, let me die. I've been suicidal, I'll say like that. Most of the time I was suicidal, but not anymore now. I'm just coming to say hello to everyone and being thankful to God how He has brought me and lifted me up from the hard times I used to be here. I have so many scars that I've not rebuilt out, things that, because you may say, okay, you have gone to war. But there's the other parts that people forget. What about the internal injuries? Like, what happened inside? Kilalesha Community Church showed me so much love. I started joining the choir, trying to write songs, and it started healing me emotionally.
In soldiers coming back, those who have experienced the traumas of war and hardship, there has to be an inculcation of a forgiveness spirit in them. And that forgiveness has to be directed at yourself. And that's the most difficult one of all. The hardest person to forgive is yourself. But if God can forgive, you must also.
Well, we can find ourselves at some pretty rough places, can't we? Sometimes they're places of our own making, and sometimes they're places we're thrown into. We find ourselves trapped with no way out. And in our quieter moments, we often realize we've said, done, and thought things that are less than ideal. The Bible refers to that as sin. It's an old-fashioned word, I know, but it really just means that we've done and said things that hurt others and go against God's plan. Guilt is the emotional pain that says we have a problem. And when guilt comes, and it will, we have a choice as to how to deal with it. We can try to avoid it by drugging it, or drowning it, ignoring it, sexing it, medicating it. Or we could allow someone to take it from us completely.
A definition I learned from an old African preacher when I was like 21 years of age. And we were talking about the situation in South Africa, how bad it was. And I said to him, I asked him the question, I said, what do you think needs to happen for things to come right? And his answer was, we, meaning the blacks, will have to forgive the whites. And I cynically said, yes, but what is forgiveness? And he came back with me with this definition. It's in all my books that I've written on the topic. Forgiveness, he says, is surrendering my right to hurt you back. Surrendering my right to hurt you back.
Being saved, being set free, that's got to be the most amazing thing that can happen to anyone, let alone someone trapped by guilt or poor decisions. That's exactly what Jesus' death on the cross achieved. So if you ever wondered what the death of Jesus on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago has to do with us today, it's this. At the cross, Jesus took on himself the punishment for our guilt. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yours, mine, Emmanuel's, the entire world's guilt, it all fell on him. That's what it has to do with us today. It's the permanent promise of a guilt-free life, a life without fear of the past, but hope for the future. That's exactly what Jesus offers, perfect freedom.
To get close to God, your guilt system's got to be working properly. Because in the final analysis, there is an issue in your fallenness, your sinfulness. There is a forgiveness that Christ paid the penalty for on the cross that you have to receive. It's not going to be shoved down your throat. And to be able to tune in a way, a healthy way, with your brain, with your mind, into receiving that sort of forgiveness is becoming more and more difficult. I challenge preachers that you know we've got to make sure that we preach the right way. Preaching to a neurotic guilt is not going to draw people closer to God. I believe we have to lift God up as God is beautiful. He's righteous. His holiness is so wonderful. You know, I'm moved to tears by how fantastic it all is. But boy, if you don't pay attention to what's going on inside you, you're not going to have the capacity to experience that wonderful, wonderful love that he offers us every day. Day of our lives.
When I'm on stage, I'm taking it serious, saying we cannot change people's life by our own strength. So we need a supernatural power to help us.
The Lord will help us have a great show and minister to the people of God. And I thank you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Sometimes when we feel guilty, instead of talking to Jesus about it, we wait until we feel good enough to go to him. But that's not how Jesus works. He doesn't expect us to be perfect when we come to him. He promises to accept us just as we are, sin and guilt included. In the book of Psalms, the Bible has this insight. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone.
Why is it that only Jesus can remove guilt? How does that work? Well, let me try to explain it like this. If I had a $1 million mortgage and I fell on tough times and had no hope of paying it back, the bank would have several options. They could foreclose on my house and I'd lose everything. I mean, that's justice. I signed the mortgage agreement and can't complain. Or they could come to me, realise I've got a problem, and give me more time to pay. That's mercy. I didn't get what I deserved, and I'd feel pretty relieved. Or they could forgive my debt and pay it themselves and allow me to keep my house. Now, that's grace. It would be very unusual for a bank to do that. But that's exactly what Jesus does every single time we come to him. When we feel guilty, it's because we've actually broken God's law. The primary person that we have wronged is God, so he is the only one who can take our guilt and forgive it. And that's what he did, and still does. He took the punishment the law required and gives me a life I don't deserve.
Okay, mate, take it away.
We're not all child soldiers, fraudsters, or even lawbreakers, but we've all had those moments when we want a new start. Jesus, through the cross, offers us a chance to start over, and he starts by taking away the burden of guilt. That's life-changing, and all I have to do is accept it.